Welcome to the world of the art on the Zaandam. Now don't worry, this isn't going to be one of those dull museum tours that requires a couple of hours of close attention. You don't even have to whisper. But it will give you a starting point to help you appreciate some of the art treasures aboard. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. We're going to take you around the Zaandam today and show you some of the art commissioned exclusively for Zaandam by Holland America Line. Well, let's begin the tour right here in the Explorations Cafe, which is also the Zaandam's library. Have a seat and get comfortable in one of those plush leather chairs or couches while we explain a little about the tour.
For a little background, art has always been important to Holland America, and traditionally the ships have always been filled with notable art. Today, the collection ranks among the largest at sea, and it's worth many millions of dollars. As you will see as we take you on the tour, the art includes many museum-quality antiques, as well as some contemporary art by recognized artists and some newcomers. Stein Kruse, President and CEO of Holland America Line, explains how important the art is to the line's heritage.
When Holland America Line was founded in 1873, our company quickly became a leader in bringing new and modern innovations to cruising. And to this present day, we continue that proud tradition. As you follow along on this art tour, notice how our architect Frans Dingemans has created a unique environment for you to enjoy. And Frans has placed the art very carefully to create a comfortable setting where you can enjoy all the onboard experiences we have for you.
Architect Frans Dingemans of Utrecht in the Netherlands has designed the interiors of most of the Holland America Line ships. And everything, the colors, the fabrics, the furniture, even the ceilings and floors, are meant to be part of the whole look and feel of the ship.
Holland America Line always decorated their ships with contemporary art, modern art, and conventional art to bring together an art collection, total environment of the ship and the rooms you're sitting in. The way you do that is basically following your own heart.
Dingemans incorporates certain themes into each ship. Now here on the Zaandam, one theme is music. You'll see musical instruments used as art objects all around the ship. And Dingemans even carries out the theme with musical motifs in stateroom hallways and in doorways.
Another theme is Holland America Line's more than 130-year history. And beyond that, the line's Dutch maritime heritage. For the Dutch, seafaring has been a way of life, and the 17th century was the golden age of Dutch exploration.
On the ship, you'll see antiques and decorative works that reflect the kinds of things the Dutch sea captains might have brought home from their travels all over the world.
Now, before we begin, just a word about your iPods. You'll find helpful directions on the back. Also, feel free to pause your iPod at the end of some of the chapters and at any time during the tour. This will give you time to get to the location of the next artwork, or if you'd like more time to admire something. Coming up, you'll be on Chapter 2.
Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck, Midships. Okay, ready to go exploring? Walk out of the Explorations Cafe and turn left. In front of you is Longing for the Sea. It's a painting by contemporary Dutch artist Jan Verst. I wouldn't call him the voiced, I would call him the best. I love that painting.
Oh, Elizabeth, no matter what his inspiration, and it can come from just about any source, Verst can weave together fragments of personal snapshots, fashion magazines, and even architectural drawings into a grand, surrealistic depiction in a painting. What is always present among the opulent interiors of his paintings, however, are beautiful women and children. In this painting, you can almost feel the heat of summer. Verst's goal here is to place the viewer in the role of asking questions about what they see and what they think will be happening next.
So what do you think, Paul? Is that a retired captain wistfully recalling his days at sea? Or maybe a staid Dutch businessman wishing he'd run away to sea? Or what about his wife and son? They seem melancholy to me. Are they wishing they could have gone with him? Or maybe they're just wishing he'd show them more attention?
Well, possibly. Now look to your left. Here's an example of Dingemans' use of musical motifs. In the display case is a harpsichord. It's not an antique harpsichord. This was made in Belgium in 1972 by Walter Main. Do you know that the harpsichord is the precursor of the piano?
I don't think I did know that.
And do you know what makes it different?
What makes it different?
Well, the strings are actually plucked, and on the piano they're struck. What made the harpsichord so popular in the late 15th century was its all-purpose practicality. Where large chamber organs were too cumbersome to install in the home, and the small sound of the clavichord makes it too slight to play in medium-sized rooms, the harpsichord became an ideal instrument for young ladies to learn to play and recite as part of their musical education.
How quaint.
Okay, now, there's something else really interesting just around the corner. Walk forward, but before you get to the casino, turn right. Walk past the elevators and stairwell, but before you reach the other side of the ship, stop and look to your left.
Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck, midships. That's no ordinary saxophone that's mounted on the wall there. Bill Clinton signed this one. Can you find where his signature is?
Do you know the different types of saxes? You know there are 6 in all? The sopranino, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and contrabass. This particular one is an alto sax. And if you look on the mouthpiece of the instrument, you will see the signature of the 42nd President of the United States, William Jefferson Clinton, in blue ink. Now turn right towards Mirabella. Directly opposite the shop is a large display with a verdure landscape tapestry from Belgium. It's early 18th century. And notice the gentleman's dress coat, brown velvet with silk embroidery. Take a look at all the items in the display. You'll be glad you did, and it's a fascinating few minutes. Continue forward, starboard. Approaching the piano bar on the left is a sketch signed by Marc Chagall. It's actually the frontispiece of the book Chagall, and it's signed by the artist himself.
You know, there's a great museum of Chagall's work in Nice on the French Riviera. Now, if you're cruising there one day, don't miss it. He has this really individualistic and expressive style. He was born in Russia, and his work relies on the brilliant color influences of painters like Van Gogh. And although you might not recognize it, he really uses the cubist style of fragmentation in his work. Now continue forward along the starboard side of the ship and turn left into the piano bar. Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck, midships.
In the piano bar, you'll see 3 paintings by contemporary Russian artist Igor Fromin. The trio is called Gypsy Musicians. Now remember that we told you the ship is designed like a work of art? Here's a good example. Right after the Chagall piece, Dingemans has included works by fellow Russian artist Igor Fromin, right here in the piano bar. Fromin gets much of his inspiration from imagination and dreams, and Gypsy Musicians seems to show a profound influence from Gypsy culture. Note how the colorful musicians have such dramatic expressions on their faces. There's really a lot of emotion in these works. Now, when you exit the piano bar, look ahead on the right. You'll see a very special guitar.
Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck. This guitar was signed by Iggy Pop. How cool is that? The story goes that he was in the hospital and David Bowie came to visit him. When he got out, Iggy Pop joined Bowie for his 1976 tour. Bowie became Iggy's new manager and they worked together on Iggy's next 2 albums.
Well, that is interesting. Now, continue walking forward and turn into the casino bar.
Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck, Casino Bar. Now you should be in the casino bar. Notice the 2 ship models on either side of the big TV screen. To your left, as you're facing the screen, is a model of the East Indiaman.
Now, one of the things that Holland America Line is noted for is the large collection of museum-quality ship models that Franz Dingemans has placed on each of the ships. This one, the East Indiaman, is named for the British ships that sailed to the Queen's Indian colonies. These ships returned to port with exotic goods like porcelain and artworks, as well as spices like cloves and cinnamon. No doubt this particular ship is a historical model. Notice how the builder of this ship shows great skill, installing planks separately, using fine detail in all the rigging, and notice the gilded depiction of a mermaid on its bow.
Ooh, a mermaid.
To your right, as you face the TV screen, is a model of a 12-gun sloop.
Now, imagine you're a painter, and you need to paint a man of war sailing on the open ocean. Rather than imagine it, you might commission a model in order to show the detail. Well, that's what happened here with this royal sloop. It gave the image of a sailing ship a more natural appearance on canvas, since the artist could take his time studying his naval subject. Now that would explain the opulent interior, the glazed windows, and the copper guns on this model. But with the advent of the realist style, and with photography providing a more affordable option, by the mid-19th century, the practice of building models to paint had fallen out of favor.
From the casino, head forward again to the atrium. You'll see the top of the great organ. Now, we'll tell you more about the organ later. For now, continue walking forward around the top of the atrium to the forward elevators. Take one of the forward elevators up to Deck 9, the sports deck. Pause your iPod now and begin again once you've arrived on Deck 9, the sports deck.
Deck 9, the sports deck, forward. Now you should be on Deck 9, the sports deck. Facing forward, toward the front of the ship, walk forward and bear to your right. Enter the right side, or starboard side, of the crow's nest. As you walk in, you'll see a painting on your left, on the wall of the passageway that leads into the crow's nest. It's one of a pair of oil paintings titled Sailing Vessel in the Bay. The second one is around the corner to your right, in the starboard area of the crow's nest. These two paintings are by Spanish artist Rafael Romeo Ivern. Notice how you can almost feel the warm sun in these works. Spanish artists like Ivern created their own style known as Mediterranean painting, where light is of prominent importance and dynamic color ranges are applied to the canvas. Wow, it just gets such a serene and harmonic feeling looking at these paintings, don't you think?
You do. While you're in this part of the crow's nest, take a moment to look up and down. In fact, that's something you should do often on the ship. Some of the most interesting design features are in the ceilings and floors. Here, Franz Dingemans has given the room a yacht-like feel with a colorful, curved ceiling, and also captured the motif in the inlaid wood and marble floor.
Continue around to the port side of the crow's nest. This room is a lounge that serves as an observation room by day. By night, it becomes a dance club. You can pause your iPod now until you get to the port side of the room, and then start listening again. Deck 9, sports deck.
When you get to the port side of the room, that's the left side as you're facing forward, notice the beautiful ship model, the Corsair II, an American steam yacht from 1890. Now, the original of this yacht was built by the legendary billionaire and financier J. Pierpont Morgan, and the Corsair II became his second home. Shortly before the Spanish-American War, Morgan sold the yacht to the U.S. Navy, who renamed her the USS Gloucester and assigned her to support military operations against various harbors in the Caribbean. She remained in service with the Navy until 1919, when she was sold. Sadly, the graceful ship was wrecked off the coast of Florida. After viewing the Corsair ship model, proceed aft, and as you look to the right, you'll see a large painting, Neptune and his horse rising from the waves, by Rebecca Biggio.
Okay, now let's leave the crow's nest. But before you leave deck number 9, the sports deck, check out a very interesting painting in the forward stairwell. Deck 9, sports deck, forward. Look at the large vertical painting called The Cracked Pane. It's in the stairwell between Deck 9, the sports deck, and Deck 8, the Lido deck. To me, it has a kind of a haunting feel. You're looking at the scene through those French doors. Well, this is by modern British artist Roy Alderson. Now, he had a very interesting background. Before he became an artist, he was trained as a window dresser, and he used those skills to enhance the murals he painted for his own shop. But soon, he spent more time traveling the world and studying his art than he did running his shop. In this painting, he uses trompe l'oeil, that's French for deceives the eye. You know, that's the style that's designed to give the impression that you're actually looking at a real image, not just a depiction of one.
There shows up here. At this point, take either the stairs or the elevator down to deck number 8, the Lido deck. Pause your iPod, and we'll catch up with you on the Lido deck.
Deck 8, Lido deck, forward. Well, whether you took the elevator or the stairs, now you should be on Deck 8, the Lido deck. Walk through the glass doors into the Lido pool area and take a look at the statue of leaping dolphins at the end of the pool. These are by British sculptor Susanna Holt. She has designed the animal statues for all the Holland America ships. She's done bears and penguins, but dolphins are her first love. She has spent countless hours observing dolphins in the wild. As a result, the sculptures seem full of life. Okay, now I have a question for you, Paul. Is this a group of dolphins leaping, or one dolphin in different stages of leaping?
Well, actually, according to Holt, it's one dolphin leaping. Think of this as a high-speed strobe camera taking multiple pictures of that single dolphin. What I find interesting is how she does the work.
First of all, I start with my imagination. I have to study the animal in the wild as much as it's possible to do. And then I produce drawings from those ideas, and then I develop a tiny model in wax on flexible wire supports. And that I can manipulate easily, so I can get the flow and the movement of the animal at that stage, which is easy to pull around. When I have the movement and the flow I'm after, then I make a quarter life size. And every detail at that stage has to be perfect, because you don't change a whole lot from that stance. We then make a rubber mold from this model, and then plaster castings from the mold. And then from these plaster castings, we do the enlargement to life size. Then we make more rubber molds of the life size section. This takes a lot of time. The bronze can only be 3/8 of an inch thick, or the sculpture would distort and be too heavy. So we then chip away the ceramic shell and weld all the pieces together, heads, flukes, flippers, and so on.
You have many months of actual work involved in this, don't you?
Many months. And within the internal part of the dolphin, there is a very complex pattern of steel supports that supports the extreme cantilever and the weight. So the enlargement of the molds themselves take approximately 5 months, and the casting is about the same. So it requires me to have studied the dolphin well in advance.
Phew! Being a sculptor is hard work. Well, after contemplating the leaping dolphin, continue toward the aft part of the ship. You'll be walking along the port side of the Lido pool. You'll come to the Lido bar. It's a neat little area at the end of the pool with wicker chairs, magnolia bushes, and lights that look like street lamps. Deck 8, Lido deck, midships.
When you get to the Lido bar, look on the wall, and you'll see four ceramic plates with fanciful silver-colored images of fish. These are part of an 8-piece set by the famous Dutch artist Jan Snoek. He's one of the most charming men you'll ever want to meet. He's in his 80s, yet he's so young at heart he seems ageless. He's truly amazing and a Dutch treasure. Continue walking aft. On your left, you'll see what looks like a wooden sculpture of a ship's hull. It's a builder's model made by Fincantieri, the Italian shipyard that built the Zaandam.
It really is beautiful. Well, now keep heading aft, go through the glass doors of the Lido restaurant, and turn left into the midship's stairwell. You are in for a surprise. Deck 8, Lido deck, midships. When you get to the midship stairwell, look at the big circular painting that looks like, well, a floral close-up. The painting is called, aptly enough, Flowers. It's by Tim McGuire.
Now, he's an Australian artist who lives in France. He always loved classic Dutch still life paintings from the 1600s, but he wanted to reinterpret the subject for modern times. So he concentrates on just one part of one flower. Say it's like seeing a stylized version of a Dutch still life flower. The technique he uses is fascinating. He puts prints of old still lifes up in his studio, and he looks at them through binoculars. Now that's what gives him the unique perspective that's reflected in his paintings.
When you've soaked up enough of the beauty of Tim McGuire's painting, head toward the starboard side of the ship, turn left, and walk through the glass doors back into the Lido pool area. As you walk along, look to your left. you'll see the other four ceramic fish plates by Jan Schnuck. There's something about looking at a work by Jan Schnuck that just makes you feel happy. You know, he does a ceramic sculpture of a dog, and the dog is smiling. Here, the fish seems to be smiling. Only Jan Schnuck could create a happy fish.
It's hard to be anything but happy around a dolphin sculpture by Susanna Holt. You'll get another view of the sculpture as you continue walking forward along the starboard side of the Lido pool. Walk out of the Lido pool area through the glass doors at the forward end of the pool, back to the forward staircase. Pause your iPod till you get there.
Deck 8, Lido Deck, forward.
Okay, now you should be back at the forward stairwell on the Lido Deck, Deck 8.
At this point, you can either take the elevator or the stairs down to Deck 4, the promenade deck. But if you take the stairs, you're in for a special treat. On each of the next several landings in the forward staircase, you'll notice a large marine painting. These are by one of the world's leading marine artists, Captain Stephen J. Card. You can pause your iPod here and look at the paintings, or return another time to enjoy Card's art. Each painting has a descriptive label. For each new Holland America ship, Card creates a collection of paintings. They typically depict the new vessel as well as earlier Holland America ships that bore the same or similar names. Do you ever wonder how an artist gets started?
Well, I've always painted. As a young boy, I painted various pictures. But when I was 17, I went away to sea, and I worked at sea for 13 years, rising through the ranks, and eventually became captain on cargo ships. And I came back to Bermuda in 1984, and I worked for a couple of years as harbor master. And then after that, I was not a very good civil servant, shall we say, and I decided to go back to sea, and while waiting for a job, I took up painting again. And then I sold a couple of paintings and decided to take up a full-time career as an artist.
Now, each of the paintings Carr did for Zaandam has something special in it. Incidentally, do you know the origin of the name Zaandam?
No.
Well, today it's a city northwest of Amsterdam. But for years it was a fishing and shipbuilding center. And it was in Zaandam that Tsar Peter the Great came to learn shipbuilding. You know, many cities in Holland are named with dam because they're built near or next to water, and they were protected from the water by a dam or a dike. You know, in the Holland America ships, all of the passenger ships end in dam, like Zaandam, and all of the cargo ships end with dike.
Of course, there are no more cargo ships.
Well, not anymore.
But this is history.
In the old days. And the city of Zaandam was named after the river, the Zaan, because it's located there. But back to Stephen Card's paintings in the forward staircase.
Notice the painting of the Stottendam 4 passing the Ambrose lightship outside New York. It's between decks 8 and 7. Certainly one of the most beautiful ships ever built. It's set in 1965. And then there's the painting of the Spandam 2 in the English Channel, circa 1928. It's between decks 7 and 6. It's a calm summer evening in 1928. Notice that there are sailing ships still in service around here. And then there's the painting of the New Amsterdam 1 at Dover Straits in 1911. It's between decks 6 and 5. This painting shows the transition from sail to steam. The fact that even though most of the ships in the painting are steamships, there's still one ship that has sails. And notice the ship with four smokestacks? Card told us that ships didn't really need that many. One was usually just for show. Holland America ships only had the necessary smokestacks. I could go on, but you get the idea. Spend some time exploring these paintings on your own, and you'll learn a great deal.
Deck 4, Promenade Deck. Whether you took the stairs or the elevator, now you should be on Deck 4, the Promenade Deck. Walk aft to the atrium. This is probably the best vantage from which to see the grand organ, the centerpiece of the atrium, and it's a work that underscores the ship's musical theme. The organ plays four times a day. You can check the schedule with the front office. At this level, you can see the figures move as they seem to play their musical instrument.
if you say an organ, then you, well, it is never three-dimensional. It is always standing to a wall or somewhere high up in the church. But here you have to walk around it. There were some motifs, let's say a Spanish or a South American organ. There is a lot of sculpturing on it, a lot of curls. It is fun to see. The second was, of course, that in the beginning of the century, when the wages came up and the big bands were going to disappear for dancing evenings, they were able to make mechanical orchestras. And there is a museum here in Utrecht, which is an expert in collecting them. So, and the third team was, we have here in Holland, the street organs. When somebody is riding around with in the street organ, they were decorated with puppets, where the figures were moving actually in the rhythm of the music. So all those elements we brought together and say, listen, if that is an organ, then it should be fun for everybody to see. We started building it, and with an organ builder here in Holland, we built a genuine organ in it with a keypad, so you could play it actually, I think.
You might be wondering about the weight of an organ this size on a ship. Well, it's not that heavy, thanks to something called Echo Deco.
That's a substance created by the husband and wife team, Gilbert Labigre and Corinne Roger. Labigre studied art in Paris and designed sets for the Versailles Opera and for ballets for Nureyev. Corinne is an artist and sculptor in her own right. They created and patented a material they call Echo Deco. It's fireproof, biodegradable, and can be made to look like anything from metal to stone. It's the perfect material for a ship, light and fireproof. As you walk about the ship, keep your eye out for things that look like stone or plaster. Chances are, they're Echo Deco.
While you no doubt have enjoyed this homage to music, it's time to walk around the starboard side of the atrium, heading toward the aft part of the ship. Now, you should still be on deck 4, the promenade deck. Up ahead, you'll pass the Huayang Theater and Culinary Arts Center on your left and the Pinnacle Grill on your right. He'll also pass an amazing collection of late 19th and early 20th century Balinese and Javanese masks from Indonesia. For now, pause your iPod and start it again when you get to the midship stairwell. You're in for another special treat. Deck 4, Promenade Deck, midships. In the midship stairwell on Deck 4, the Promenade Deck, look on the wall toward the starboard side of the ship. Here are three guitars signed by some of the giants of rock music. The one on the left is signed by Queen, the one in the middle by Eric Clapton, and the one on the right by the Rolling Stones.
The guitar signed by Queen is a legendary Fender Stratocaster and was created by accountant and radio repairman named Leo Fender. Fender's unique design broke the mold for conventional guitars. Created in 1953, the Stratocaster has shaped popular music for over half a century.
The second guitar is designed by musical icon Les Paul. Its solid body construction is famous for its cool curves. B.B. King, Eric Clapton, and Keith Richards have all signed this gorgeous Bentley guitar.
Finally, we have the Fender Telecaster, signed by the Rolling Stones. In production since the spring of 1950, the Telecaster redefined music and was the first mass-produced electric guitar on the market. The Stones have been performing for nearly as long as that guitar's been made. You know, the Stones have been called the world's greatest rock and roll band. Now take either the stairs or the elevator down one more deck to Deck 3, the lower promenade deck. Head for the starboard side of the ship and take the starboard side corridor to the bottom floor of the atrium. Along the way, you'll see historic black and white photographs of early Holland America Line ships. Pause your iPod until you reach the atrium.
Deck 3, lower promenade deck, the atrium. Now you should be at the bottom of the atrium, on Deck 3, the lower promenade deck. On the starboard side of the atrium is one of my favorite items on the ship. It's a Meissen vase from the 19th century. Of course, the workmanship of the Meissen porcelain factory in Germany has been legendary for centuries. This is just amazing. The intricacy of the work on the flowers and the branches and the birds. Think of the craftsmanship that went into that.
Here you'll also see the bottom of the grand organ. If you're tempted to play, you should know that everything is locked up.
That's a good thing.
Now head for the forward elevators or staircase and go back up to deck 5, the upper promenade deck. Pause your iPod. We'll catch up with you there.
Deck 5, upper promenade deck, forward. Now you should be on deck 5, the upper promenade deck. Walk to the atrium. From this vantage, you'll be able to see the top part of the grand organ. But turn around and look to your right. Here you'll see a glass sculpture by one of Italy's leading glass artists, Luciano Vistosi. This work is called Pisania. It's a gift from Fincantieri Shipyard, Zaandam's builder.
To see still more interesting artworks, walk aft around the port, left side of the atrium, and continue walking toward the aft part of the ship. When you get to the casino, don't go in. Turn left at the carousel horse.
Deck 5, upper promenade deck.
Yes, turn left at the carousel horse and continue aft. You'll be heading aft along the starboard side of the ship. Pause your iPod and start it again when you reach the Explorer's Lounge.
Deck 5, upper promenade deck.
Now you should be at the Explorer's Lounge. This huge mural is a replica of a 1621 painting. It depicts the arrival of Frederick von der Paltz and his wife Elizabeth Stuart in Vissingen in 1613. The original is by Cornelius Vroom. Contemporary British artist Ian Kearney painted this replica. You know, I spent some time with Ian in his studio in London. He's a fascinating artist. Some of what he does is amazing trompe l'oeil works. A staircase in his house, for instance, is full of jungle birds and scenes that seem so real, you're tempted to reach out and touch them.
Now at this point, you really should take a few minutes to explore the Explorer's Lounge. It contains a very special surprise. Deck 5, upper promenade deck. In a corner of the Explorer's Lounge, you'll find a white marble statue of Puccini, also created by the team of Le Bigre and Roger. On the wall beside Puccini, you'll see a piece of music he signed in 1910. But that's not the surprise. Look on Puccini's shoulder. That's a butterfly. Puccini, of course, wrote one of the world's most popular operas and my favorite opera, Madame Butterfly. I love that touch. Well, there are more surprises to come. Exit the Explorer's Lounge and continue heading aft. Deck 5, upper promenade deck. See the large sculpture of the giant lips? No, that's not an homage to Mick Jagger. That's a reproduction of a fragment of an ancient Egyptian head. Listen to what Franz Dingemans has to say about it.
I started with finding in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, let's say, a little statue of a face, Egyptian face, of yellow jasper. It's a very hard, very yellow piece of marble. It was, the top was broken, so we copied it with Le Bigre, and with that piece of basically very modern art from, let's say, more than 2,000 years ago, we brought together, let's say, elements of discovery, and still this yellow jasper is absolutely one of my favorites. One of the most, if you are in New York, go to the Metropolitan and ask for it, cost you 10 minutes, and after that you can do your shopping again, but see it, it is amazing.
This entire alcove here is one of my favorite parts of the ship. It's all about ancient Egypt. There's a photograph of the excavation of the tomb of King Tutankhamun and a reproduction of the mummy case from King Tut's tomb. Deck 5, upper promenade deck.
Most of the jewelry you see in the display cases here are reproductions of ancient Egyptian jewelry, but even as reproductions, they're very valuable.
But there are two items in this room that are genuine artifacts from ancient Egypt. Near the starboard side of the room is an ibis, gilt bronze and wood. It dates from the 4th century BC. And near the port side of the room is an actual mummy mask. It dates from about 300 BC. And you can still see remnants of linen on it. It gives me goosebumps to even think about this, that this is really from ancient Egypt. And to think about how this ancient Egyptian woman came to her end.
Well, sadly, we've come to the end of the art tour. But your art experience with Holland America doesn't have to end here. You can download podcasts of art tours on other Holland America ships from the website at hollandamerica.com. And do continue your art experience aboard Zaandam. You're sure to discover more art as you continue your cruise. And to give you a little challenge, well, we have some homework. Yes, I did say homework, but I promise it'll be fun. If you want to explore on your own, here are some things to look for. A collection of nautilus shells displayed in a case. Two reclining cows. Yes, we said cows, and... oh, well, just go exploring. You're going to find it great fun. I'm Paul Lassley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. Have a wonderful cruise.